Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you, O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turned aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning this people. Truly, they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace, but find no good, for a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nation bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord, our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all of this. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Letter to Timothy. I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Noah and I were on retreat this week with the rest of the clergy of the diocese out at Camp Chanko, which is something the clergy do on a yearly basis. And this year's retreat offered a chance to reflect with Brother James Dow, one of the monks of the Order of the Holy Cross, who now serves as monk in residence for the Diocese of Nebraska. Brother Dow led a series of reflections on the practice of contemplative prayer, which is a specific type of prayer meant to quiet the mind and the heart and to leave space to contemplate on God. It often involves lots of silence and stillness, but those are not necessarily required. The goal of the contemplative practice is about inner stillness. Depending on the person and their circumstances, inner stillness might require external stimulation to quiet the mind. Perhaps playing the guitar or even washing dishes, busy hands, can make a quiet heart. I have two kids at home, so silence is not something I get on a regular basis. I guess I'm a little out of practice because I found it challenging to sit for long periods of silence. Thoughts kept popping in. The sights and the sounds of the room around me kept pulling on my attention. But the heart of the contemplative practice is not about chastising ourselves for being unable to focus on God, but rather realizing when we are distracted and bringing ourselves back into God's waiting peace. As Brother Dowd spoke and led us through a few prayer sessions, one of the things that kept popping into my head was the fact that I had to preach this Sunday, and I currently had nothing written. Similarly, my eye kept being drawn to the brightly colored pop-up banner that the diocese had brought that has one of our diocesan slogans on it. So naturally, I combined these two intrusions into my time with God, the sermon and the banner, and here we are. The banner said, "Love your neighbor who doesn't look like you, think like you, love like you, speak like you, pray like you, vote like you, love your neighbor,
no exceptions. It's a paraphrase of Jesus' famous summary of the law and prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I couldn't help but notice that there were some holes in this banner's paraphrasing of Jesus' words, and that's not surprising. When we start trying to add to Jesus, we often complicate the simplicity of his truth. That said, I do rather like this paraphrasing. It points out that Jesus' command to love our neighbor doesn't come with conditions. There's an inexhaustible list of words we could add to this banner that highlight potential divisions we might face. And none of them amount to an exemption that allows us to stop holding that person in God's love. One of those divisions is highlighted in our gospel passage today. Jesus tells a parable about two people praying in the temple. A Pharisee and a tax collector. Jesus says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. The Pharisee sounds pretty good, actually. He fasts twice a week, which is a form of prayer, so we'll give him credit for a decent prayer life. He gives a tenth of his income, which is truly a wonderful thing to do. Wink, wink, nod, nod. This is certainly not the bone Jesus is trying to pick here. No, it's the first part of the Pharisee's prayer. Jesus takes issue with God, the Pharisee saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even this tax collector. He likely doesn't know it, but in comparing himself and his self-understood righteousness with the sinfulness of these others, he has erected a barrier between himself and his fellow children of God. He has opened a rift, and this rift has blinded him to the fact that he too is reliant on God's grace. He seems unaware that he is also broken in a myriad of ways. The Pharisee's prayer stands in contrast to the tax collector's prayer. Jesus describes him as standing far away, unable to even look up to heaven. And we can assume that he feels unworthy to gaze in the direction of God. And so he stands beating his breast and saying out loud in what must have been quite the scene, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector is not focused on others. He is focused on himself. Like the Pharisee, he has a rift. Yet the tax collector is aware of this rift. It's a rift between him and God, and so his prayer is a cry for this barrier to fall, for the breach to be repaired. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says of the two prayers, it is this prayer of humility that accomplishes the work of repair. It is this prayer of self-examination that brings about a chance to encounter the goodness of God once more. So in thinking back to our paraphrased sign, perhaps another line we might be able to add is love your neighbor who does not sin like you. Love your neighbor who is broken in a different way than you are. God's sense of justice is on a scale that often baffles the human mind. It feels unjust that someone who has sinned in a different way can receive the same grace. It feels unjust that someone who I may consider to have done worse things than I do is loved by God in the same way that God loves me. It's this feeling of injustice that likely exposes our own rifts that we need to be aware of, that we need to repair. Our own biases and assumptions about the world often inform our sense of right and wrong, our human sense of justice. What's on display in this parable is Jesus informing us that God's sense of justice, mercy, and grace is the only one that has any real weight to it. We can certainly participate in God's understanding of those forces, and I hope we do, but if we get out of step with God's sense of justice and mercy, well, then the whole promise of God's love doesn't really make sense to us. You can imagine those gathered around Jesus as he tells this parable, leaving confused as to why the Pharisee is wrong and the tax collector is right. If they aren't aligned with God's sense of love, justice, and mercy, well, then it probably doesn't make a lot of sense. If our understanding of love causes us to look down upon someone, then we don't quite have it figured out yet. If our understanding of justice is punitive rather than restorative, then we might have more work to do. If our understanding of God's mercy is somehow conditional, well, then we might not be seeing the world as God does. To believe that I am worthy of God's love and grace in all the ways that I am broken is to believe that all are worthy of that same grace. Taking time to acknowledge that within myself transforms my understanding of the world around me. If God loves me, then God loves all. Seeing the world through God's sense of justice, Jesus is giving thanks for the tax collector because someone has recognized their need for love, grace, and mercy. Jesus is giving thanks that one more soul has turned from the noises and the distractions of the world around them and returned to God's waiting and unconditionally offered peace. That certainly sounds a lot like the practice of contemplative prayer. If we think we are perfect, as it appears the Pharisee does, well, then there is no room for God. If we acknowledge that we are broken, well, then we leave space for God to enter in and transform us into a version of ourselves that better reflects God's vision for the world. The practice of contemplative prayer can actually be quite helpful in allowing us to practice the belief that if I am worthy of God's grace, then all are worthy of God's grace. And it starts, as the tax collector demonstrates, with a focus on ourselves. As you pray in contemplative prayer, each intrusive thought, each wondering question, each distracting sound offers a chance for us to open up space for God to enter in. It's a way of modeling the acts of confession and forgiveness that we are so reliant on in our lives. In asking for mercy, we are opening up space within ourselves for God to come and be. We ask for mercy so that we may return to God. We may repair the breach and quiet our souls in God's goodness. Contemplative prayer works quite nicely as a model for our spiritual journey. If you've never tried it before, know that the invitation is gently waiting for you. My suggestion is that you find a moment of stillness or an activity that helps you still your mind and to open your heart to God's never-failing invitation of love. If your mind is busy like mine, Brother Dowd suggested a technique for contemplative prayer that uses a mantra or a repeated phrase to help drown out the mind so that the heart can be still. You simply keep saying the phrase over and over so that no other thoughts have the chance to pop in. It can be any phrase, but one phrase that Brother Dowd offered to us is one that I find may be helpful. And it's called the Jesus Prayer. And as he spoke this prayer, I don't mind admitting that my brain became distracted yet again, because this sermon finally came into full focus. No matter, as it offered yet another chance to return to God, which is an invitation I will always look to accept. It also allowed me to put the Jesus Prayer into action immediately. And that's because the words of this prayer should sound awfully familiar to you. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.